Good evening and welcome to an episode of Under the Helmet. It's interesting that the influx of new teams has really brought a different type of vibe and energy to the APDFL. And one of the teams coming over is the Metro Atlanta Horsemen. I am here with standout defensive tackle Marcus Cortez. Good evening, Marcus. How are you?
I'm all right, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm all right. Just trying to stay out the cold. Now, what prompted the Horsemen to rejoin the APDFL?
I think what prompted it is we didn't have a good season the first time, the first go-around. We had lost our quarterback the first two games, I think. He hurt his leg, and so we was really working off of a third-string quarterback that wasn't really hitting on nothing. So I think the main reason why we wanted to hop back in the APDFL was to show them how we really rock with a real quarterback.
Now, what is it about the Horsemen that makes them an immediate threat to make a deep playoff run?
I would say it's the years of service, the bonding that we have, how long we've been playing with each other. It's just not like a random new team that just try to put stuff together. I mean, we got brothers on the team that's been playing together for a long, long time, 8-7 years with each other. So, I mean, that's what really stands out about the Horsemen.
When we look at, you know, how social media is and speculation and nonsense, there was an incident in the IAFL with the Georgia Cobras. Now, we talked about this earlier, and the picture you gave was actually the most accurate and clear picture that I have had. Instead of the 10-second clip of speculation, you actually painted the picture. Explain what happened.
Well, what happened was our wide receiver, Chris Showtime Williams, he caught the ball in the end zone, scored, and the dude from the Cobras, I can't remember his name, he stomped Showtime in the face with his cleat. So they got the team riled up. But the video that actually surfaced was not the accurate video. So it's just like if you just see a clip of something, it'll put a bad vibe in your mouth about an organization. But it really wasn't the case. But it was out there really hitting people with his helmet, just swinging on everybody, you know. So when you look at it from a film of the 10-second clip, it makes it look like the quarterback just fired off on him. But it wasn't like that. So that's all it is, man.
Now, it's strange because one of the things that, not sure if it was from that game or the result, because you guys were denied a championship, basically.
Yeah, I feel like we got robbed because I feel like the commission do a thorough investigation. So what he did was he heard she say, he say, and went off of that and robbed us out of a championship. So after we got kicked out of the championship, which I never heard of in my life in football, you bring a team back that got eliminated and put them in the championship run or in the playoffs to play for a chance playing the championship. So that it was just crazy, man. I didn't understand that part.
Now, that's the part that just doesn't make sense, that if the league was wrong and they didn't do a complete investigation, they should have did a complete investigation before they decided to rob you of an opportunity to win another championship. To me, that just shows that rest to judgment as far as from a league standard. And what did that feel like in that locker room when you got heard this, and what was the general vibe around the team?
For me, I think it was, we was hurt, starting from our coaches to the players, to the veterans, because as far as we are the defending champs of that league, so you didn't give us a rightful chance to explain ourselves. We had coaches reaching out to the league owner. He just kept ignoring us. So I just feel like we was robbed. And, I mean, we just got to move on and get better, and I think that's what drives us this season, to get better, prove to everybody that we didn't fall off. It was just too easy.
Now, when the talk was going to come back to APDFL, what was the mood? What was that conversation like?
From a standpoint of our owner, man, Coach Todd, from our head coach, Will, man, we just like competition. We don't run for competition. And if you look at our schedule, we always play the toughest team. We never run from. So the mission was still the same. Just stay on the boat and hop back in the APDFL and let's show them how we rock. We didn't get a chance to even show them because we was down a quarterback. But I feel like this year is going to be real special. Real special. It's going to shock a lot of people.
Now, you are joining with the Tigers. You are joining with the Thrashers. You are joining with a few teams from the IAFL. What makes the Horsemen stand out?
We're the big brother. You know, everybody want to model their program after us. If everybody just keep it a book, we are the standard, and they try to compete with the standard. You know, everybody that's coming, we respect all but fear none, but they know what's coming. They know how we coming. We play as a unit. We play as a team. We play as one heartbeat. We fight. That's all I can say. We good at what we do. You know what I'm saying? If everybody keep it a buck, they put teams, they stack teams together to beat the Fortune. But they won't say that because it'll hurt their pride or something. But that's just what it is in Atlanta.
How much cap is in Atlanta semi-pro?
Man, it's so much cap, man. They need to work in the league. A lot of cap.
Who is the biggest cap artist in Atlanta semi-pro, even Georgia semi-pro?
Cap. I mean, it depends on what level of cap you're talking about.
Like superhuman.
I mean, I can't really say, man. It just depends on how you look at it.
Or the most annoying. Who's the most annoying person who caps and you have to constantly check them on their nonsense?
I'm tired of hearing that thrash of BS. That's what I'm tired of. I'm just tired of hearing it. Because at the end of the day, you have to come see us. I'm tired of hearing that. I don't want to hear what you got or what you do. Only 11 can play. It's only one football. And I have faith in my 11 that we're going to dominate the game like we do every time. So that's the cap I'm tired of hearing.
Now, when the Thrashers, and definitely we'll have to see the Horsemen, there were a few former Horsemen who decided to go join the Thrashers. And is that more of a rivalry now, but is it more of this like you need to silence them on the field?
For me, at the end of the day, I feel like those are still my brothers, even though me and Cam are always the owner. We always talk trash to each other, but at the end of the day, I feel like we all brothers. You know what I'm saying? I've lost a lot of people this past year due to a lot of COVID stuff. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a lot of anger towards the Thrashers. I just feel like it's a rivalry because if we play them, we know we're going to have a hard-fought game. We know they're going to have a hard-fought game. But if we did lose a lot of key pieces, though, at the end of the day, but I feel like our recruiting, we bounce back. We're going to miss them, but, I mean, it goes on. It's a bit. We're going to have to beat them.
The Georgia semi-pro scene, looking outside of the Horsemen, who's the team to beat other than you?
That would really be hard to say because I feel like the Thrashers bring in a lot of pieces. You still have the Tigers. You can't sleep on them. And just far as like the Cobras, they're good. You know, you can't take nothing away from them. No team in Atlanta because it's any given Saturday you can get your butt spanked. You know what I'm saying? You just have to approach every game as you respect everybody but fear none. So that's how we look at it, and that's how I feel like the other organizations look at it also. I don't feel like it's no sleeper in the Atlanta division, period.
Now, the biggest adjustment that you that the Horsemen may have to make is playing top teams. Now, we both know, and we've been both been around the block enough time to know that every league is not stacked top to bottom with phenomenal offensive line talent. I mean, if we're honest, there are teams in the APDFL, just like the IFL, just like any league, that has suspect offensive line talent. As a defensive tackle, how soon do you know that you're lined up against someone who you were about to beat the entire day?
Man, I can tell it from the first snap. As far as if I see you, you keep looking at me side eye or you flinching, you don't want that pressure that I'm about to bring to you. So for me, the first snap of the game, I can tell if somebody fear me. And I love it. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing like playing football and beating up on somebody. You won't go to jail for it. So, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's just like an energy you get to know that somebody, a grown man, is like, he's fearful of it. So I would say the first snap of the game.
Now, we also talked that being a defensive tackle, especially at a high level, you have to occupy that double, which frees up defensive ends. Now, why do you think that certain defensive ends will gloat when it's really the nose and the three tech, or even the, you know, the under tackle who are actually doing the work?
I feel like it's just a lot of cap. You know, some players, they forget where they came from. They don't understand the process it took to be in that situation that they're in. You know, film never lies. I always say, look at film. Film will show people what's really going on. You know, if you got a nose tackle or a three technique, or a D tackle that's just taking up, that demands a double and a triple team. Of course, it's going to make the end or anybody look good. You get what I'm saying? Because you don't have two people coming at them at one time. That's why I said a nose tackle position or the D tackle the hardest position on the field, because you have 300 pounders coming at you, two of them, three of them at one time. So my thing when people always say, oh, he only good for 3 to 4 plays, okay, if you had 700 pounds coming at you at one time, how would you feel? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How would you look at that? How would you be fatigued? Or how would your strength level match up if you have that much pressure coming at you at one time? And still be dominant, I feel like that speaks volumes to my character anyway. You know, people can say what they want to say, but it's hard in them trenches.
Do you think that it's a lack of basic football knowledge, or do you think that some DNs and fans and players on other teams don't really see the dirty work that the interior defensive linemen have to do?
For me, I feel like they see it, but they're going to ignore it because they're not taking the pressure. You get what I'm saying? If you just at the nose and you just have a center and two guards coming at you at one time, I mean, you really can't explain it, Terry. It's just hard. You just have to put your hand in the dirt and feel what a D tackle is coming from. You know what I'm saying?
It's just Trust me, I get it. I was an average D tackle 1,000 years ago, and it wasn't the most rewarding job, but got it done. And people don't really understand that D tackles should be the first people that should eat at the post game meal. And they should be the first people who have the cold tub. They should be the first people in the bus. They should get whatever seat. And at the bar, they should never have to pay for a drink.
I feel that.
I think that a lot of times, and I blame some coaches because you have some of these coaches, and you know how it is. Some of these coaches will just put a big guy in the middle and say, hey, he's a big guy. No, no, he's just a fat guy playing football. That's the difference. Being right. a true three tech, one tech, zero tech, well, it shows up on film. Like you said, film does not lie. Now, when you have to split a double team and when you have to beat a double team, what's that mindset like?
For me, I'm looking at how tight their splits are. So if I'm lined up over the center, I know I'm already going to bully him. I'm going to push him to the guard where I think the play is going. So most of all, I'm going to full rush him into the center to make the hole open for my linebacker to field. I think that's what makes it better for the linebacker that's playing behind. It's easier to field the hole.
Now, one of the things that we see definitely in various leagues, especially in the ABDFL, is good quarterback play. As someone who studies film, what quarterback do you most want to hit?
For me, it's not even a specific quarterback. I want to hit all of them. I don't have a special person, one person, or one quarterback I want to hit. I want to punish all of them. That's how I look at it. See, most people just come in the game looking at, oh, I just want to hit this one specific quarterback. No, I want to hit all of them. That's my mindset this year going into the game. Punish all of them.
Now, has there ever been a time when you guys are up by a lot and you try to jump in on offense, or you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to do my job as a defensive tackle? Or do you have that thought of, you know what, if we're on the goal line, I kind of want to see what, you know, being under center with the ball is like.
Man, I've been trying to get tired of letting me do that for years. You too valuable. I can't risk you being hurt. So that's over with for me and Ty will never let me touch the rock.
Man, listen, on first and goal at the 1 yard line, if you're up by, like, let's say you're up by 28 points, running clock, you can't, like, make that happen?
Man, I guess we have to go on the floor of the game. I don't know, man. I have to put a little bug in Ty to let him know.
Well, you know what? This is the platform for it. Ty, trust me, you'll be listening. Hey, if you're up by a lot, second half, if you're near the goal line, let number zero here, you know, get on the center. Hell, let that man have the wildcat if he's really in. Yeah, hey, get him like a pistol formation. Get that man in the option. Just something. Just do something. What is the most annoying part about practice?
I would say for me is running. I mean, we got Coach Black. He's the head coach now. We got Coach Jamal. But I can see the running from Jamal, but Coach Black, he big, so he should understand we should run like that. I think that's the issue.
Sprints or stairs?
Oh, man, they got us doing prayers. I don't know if you know about the prayers.
Oh.
Like, they really, like, put implementing that we have to get our wind up this year because we're going to be broke. So the running would be for me, so. But, I mean, I'm getting better at it. So. There's nothing like having a deep tackle that got wins. So I'm up for it, man.
Now, here's a true or false part. True or false, you will be the best nose tackle or best defensive tackle in this league by the end of the season.
That's a true statement, sir.
The true or false, the Horsemen defense will surrender less than 100 points total in the regular season.
True.
When you play the Thrashers, they will score 20 points.
That's awesome.
IHOP is better than the Waffle House.
That's false. I love some Waffle House.
Man, no. No. No.
You can't be from the top and say IHOP is better than Waffle House.
Oh, my God. The Waffle House is like, if it's like late Yes, I can see it, but for breakfast and lunch, what is the go-to place in Atlanta for wings?
Strip club.
That's fair. I asked our guy, Debo Gillette, this, and I'm going to ask you, Magic City or South Beach?
Magic.
That's fair. Magic. I mean, now I'll also ask them, peach cobbler or pecan pie?
Pecan pie. I'm from Mississippi, man. That's how we grew up, on pecan pie, vanilla ice.
That's fair. Now, who is, all right, since you're from Mississippi, if all the best talent in Mississippi played all the best talent in Georgia in semi-pro, who wins that game and why?
I feel like it'll be a tie. If they both down team. I don't know. I think it'll have to come to like a field goal. That's what I think. It wouldn't be just a dominating game on either end.
Which side would you play on?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think I have to go with, I have to go play with Mississippi.
That's going to be hard, though, man.
It is, man, but I have to play with the Mississippi.
Now, you were born and raised in Mississippi, or is it more of like you were little and moved to Georgia?
In Jackson, Mississippi, born and raised.
What high school?
I went to Holmes County.
Oh, wow. A bunch of Mississippi Dynasty guys. Some went to Forest Hill. One guy went to Provine,
mm-hmm.
Murrah. And Mississippi is one of those states that doesn't get the football credit. Who is the best football player you've ever played against?
I would say, to me, as far as in like what position.
Offensive lineman.
The hardest offensive lineman that I had to play against is A.J. Spears. That is our tackle, because the man is just fundamentally sound. You have to really use technique against him to beat him. So that would be my guy. And just far as, like, I would say all our offensive linemen, really. I can't take nothing from them. They technique. They sound, man. So we getting the best of both worlds. They getting the work on from the D-line, and we getting the work from the offensive line. So I would say if I really had a hard lineman to go against, it would be A.J. Spears.
Now, of all the teams coming over, and you know all the talent, who's the most overrated player? The one that should not be talking, or the one that gets the most hype and shouldn't, and why?
Oh, that's a tough one, man, because it's a lot of overrated players. Oh, man. I really can't give you an answer to that one. You stuck me on that one. Overrated, I would say some of the players that left the horse. Overrated.
Now, looking in this league, are there any players that you saw coming back into the APDFL you're like you are interested in playing against?
Mississippi Dynasty. Their whole organization I want to play against. Is they the champ, and I like to play the champ. And I can't sleep on the Blackhawks either, because they actually good. I just love competition. I want to play both of those. They best lineman I want to go against.
Toughest neighborhood in Atlanta, as far as the one that you thought you had to fight your way out of.
Shoot the bluff.
Oh. All right. Here's one. Now, if you had to give a sentence, just one, about what life is like in the trenches to someone who has never played, what is one sentence you'd have?
Work on your body. Work on your body, man. Get your body right, because that's a dirty game down there. You know, you can get held, you can get chopped, you can get high load. I would say just build your strength up. Work on your body.
when you see a teammate dogging it as far as practice and not giving it full effort, how annoyed do you get?
I really wouldn't say I get annoyed because the coach is going to get it on the back, you know. So they're going to make the whole team run if we don't perform or they see one individual slacking. So we going to get it on the back end one way or another. So, I mean, I really don't get mad. I'm a cool guy. Right? It takes a lot to get me mad.
Last time you got mad on the field?
Ooh. Championship game. We played the Sumter Seahawks. The Sumter and the Seahawks. Yeah, that was the last time. And I think the Seahawks came into this league now. Yeah, that was the last time I played. Dang.
Now, how many more years do you think you'll play?
Well, I'm 32, 28 now.
What are your plans for after?
Coaching the little kids, teaching them fundamentals. They don't teach that in rec ball. You get away from fundamentals. Kids just going out there thinking they can just play instead of learning the game. So that will be my motto. Go help the little kids, teach them fundamentals.
J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald or John Randall?
Ooh, John Randall is a beast.
Leroy Glover or J.J. Watt?
Ooh, J.J.
What is the most underrated part about being a defensive tackle? The one thing that actually is a perk?
I would say the strength. People don't understand the strength that the tackle has until they on their backfield.
Where stadium you played in?
What state have I played in?
Worst one.
I would say Alabama.
What is the horseman way? When you see how other teams operate, and you probably have heard stories, what's the one story that you've heard that you could say, you know what, that would never happen here?
Asking players for money before a game start. That would be it. Or trying to find transportation, knowing that you have a game on Saturday. That would be it, because we have a good owner that's organized. And he really set the tone. So, I mean, that's all I would say about that.
What is the one piece of advice that you would give yourself at 18?
I would say secure the bag early. Stay in school, focus on yourself.
What is the one piece of advice that that your 18-year-old self would give you now?
Probably would tell me to have a lot more fun.
Now, one of the things that when we look at football as a whole, there is a sense of teamwork, community, and especially brotherhood. Do you feel as though people will ignore, forget, and abuse that privilege of playing football?
I do agree with that, because some people will just leave a team just to go play with their homie or their homeboy. I don't care about if they win or lose. So for me, I feel like brotherhood is a big part. I mean, I troll people every year about, hey, you got a zero. Hey, let me come play for you, but I'd never leave. You know, I just find it funny to troll them because they actually think they have a chance to get. That's the funny part about it. So I do it every year. It's just funny.
Who's the one member of the Horsemen that, other than yourself, that someone may not want to meet or get on the wrong side of?
Ooh, man. I just want to give credibility to our our other DN's PJ. I mean, sheesh. The man is like clowny. He just come off the ball and just dominate. I'm talking about dominate. Like I tell people all the time, film never lies. If you go look at that film from previous years of that man, I mean, it's incredible at what he can do.
What city has the worst food in Georgia?
Ooh, man. That's a hard one. I mean, you really can't find no bad food in Georgia, you know?
True. That's not a
lie. I don't know, man. You just got to go through, I guess, a little hole in the wall spot or a truck stop.
Now, here's one. Bigger disappointment, Georgia football or Hawks basketball?
Oh, Lord, Georgia football. Horrible.
If that one safety actually covered Riley Ridley, we wouldn't be, or Ridley, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
I know. I already know it.
I swore. I'm like, nah, he's not going to be open. That dude was wide open. Now, here's one. What makes for a good teammate? Like, what if you're recruiting a guy to come and play with the Horsemen? What three qualities do you look for?
Attitude, mature level, and are they consistent?
That works. Now, before we step out, last question, and it's just a general question. You've seen how the state of Georgia has made strides through various economic, political things. Are you surprised at the quickness that the state is starting to build itself up?
Yeah and no, I would say, because this is a Republican state, also with a Democratic one. Democrats won. It was a shock, really, for me. But, I mean, I feel like we're on the right path to make a change in Georgia. I'm just all for that vibe.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, Marcus Cortez, like I said, you came in, you set the record straight on a whole lot of things and exposed a whole lot of cap. I appreciate you joining us tonight on Under the Helmet. My man, the door is always open. Walk through whenever.
I appreciate you, man. Will do.
This has been another episode of Under the Helmet. Be good to yourselves and be good to each other.